Welcome to the program. My name is Jesse Peterson. As you know, I am the founder and president of BOND, the Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny. And the purpose is to rebuild the black community by rebuilding the black man. And we're going to talk about those things and other issues tonight. And I have to tell you, I have a story to tell you. So run and call your enemies, your friends, your mama, your daddy. I have something to tell you tonight, so you wouldn't want them to miss what I have to say tonight and other people here in the audience and my guests. So you have about a minute to run and tell somebody. Call someone up right now. You do want to hear this. My guest tonight for the first hour is Frankie Mae Curry. Is that right?
Yeah.
All right. And the reason that we have you here tonight, we should have done this show earlier, but I was out of town and wasn't able to do it. You ran for the
Board of Trustees for Los Angeles Community College District.
That's a lot. And you didn't
No,
win.
I did not win.
You did not win. Before you tell me why you lost, give us a little bit about your background. I know you have all kinds of degrees and you belong to all kinds of associations. Tell us about that.
Okay, as you stated, my name is Frankie Curry, and I have been working for Los Angeles Community College District as an instructor, as a counselor, professional expert, project coordinator. I have done practically everything that you can name as far as getting an individual in and out of college. I have worked with single parent, single parent into the mainstream, teaching them how to get jobs. I have worked with the youth program, the summer youth, training students to get jobs. So just about anything that you can name as far as a community college, I have done, even raising money. My home school was Los Angeles Southwest College. I left there. I started in 1977. I left in 86, and I became a probation officer. And the reason why I did, I love helping younger people. I love helping the senior citizens as well, seeing anyone, helping anyone to get what they want out of life. I enjoy motivating people. However, at the probation department, I found out that was not what I thought it would be. Rehabilitation. We do not rehabilitate anymore. We just put the kids there, rest them, and just monitor their behavior. No programs that we have to make sure that we can rehabilitate these kids so they can get back into the mainstream of life. So I left there in 89, and I returned to Southwest College for a short moment, counseling students. I left there and went to Los Angeles Mission College. At Mission College, I did the same thing, counselor. And they always would like, at each school I worked, always send me out to talk to people, the representative of the college, to recruit, to bring in more kids. In each year, from 1989 up until the present time, 1995, we had get this program called Working with at Youth Risk. However, during the semester, the money never materializes, so I never get a chance to fulfill that particular obligation. We have a situation of shortage of monies in our schools, in the colleges. The programs are no longer coming. We're not getting the money for the programs. Well, we can work with the disadvantaged, the underrepresented youth. The single parents, our program are being cut. So when the Board of Trustee position became available, Wally Knox, former Board of Trustee member, ran for the assembly in 43rd, I think, and he won. My colleagues asked me to run because they know that I will go out and do everything that I can to secure money, resources, whatever, so we can bring our colleges where it used to be. Where at one time we had lots of programs for young people, adults, with community service, etc. We don't have the money to do that. So I took on the challenge to run for the Board of Trustees.
And who did you have to run against?
There were five other people. Out of six people, I was the only black person running for the seat. And before I get to tell you that, not only did I work very, very hard in the community colleges, I have also done volunteer programs for high schools. I've just been a community person. I have worked very, very, very hard with the politicians. I used to do volunteer work. Well, I have done volunteer work for politicians, helping them to get elected since about 1979.
Politicians like whom?
I worked for Senator Diane Watson in 1981. And let me clarify this. It was definitely volunteer. I have never received payment for working for the politicians. And we have former councilperson Pat Russell. I just finished working with my assembly person, Kevin Murray, who did not endorse me, nor did he support me. Who else? My supervisor, Yvonne Brathwaite. I worked very, very hard with her, and she did endorse me on paper. She did send me some money, but she did also endorse my opponent, and it was my opponent who came back and told me about it.
Really? And did Diane Watson endorse
no,
you?
No, she did not, because there was some problems one while, because I went to work for Supervisor Yvonne Brathwaite-Burke at the time the two of them was running. So she did not, nor did I go to her and ask her for her endorsement. And I did not, knowing the way about politics like I do, I did not go to her and ask her.
It's probably better for you that you're not associated with her at this time, right? She's not a good person to be associated with.
No, I disagree with that.
You do?
Yes, I do.
Isn't she kind of crazy?
No, she is not.
What's wrong with her?
I don't think anything is wrong with her. I think people have somewhat misjudged her. But I would say to you today about all of the local black African-American politicians, they all seem to be going off into a different direction that is not good for the people.
And that's what we want to get into, too.
Right.
I want to talk about that. But let's talk about this. Who did you run against?
Richard Shumsky, who is a probation union person and was my former probation union person. Gloria Ramirez, who is in the runoff. David Susskind. No, I'm sorry. David Susskind and Amanda. I'm sorry. It's not David Susskind. Amanda Susskind. And I forgot David's last name.
But David somebody.
Right.
Okay.
And I'll think of it as we get on into the program.
Okay. And?
Oh, and one other guy by the name of Geraldo. Not Geraldo. I can't think of it. I tried to.
Okay. If it comes to you, we'll come back. Who won?
There was a runoff between, God, I can't think of David's last name. Forgive me, David. And Gloria Ramirez. The two people who won, for the runoff, were the two people that my assembly person, Kevin Murray, my council person, Mark Ridley Thomas.
Boo.
You're right.
Oh, okay. Good.
Are the people they endorse. Councilman Nate Holden sent out a sample ballot with my name and Richard Shumsky's name highlighted. So therefore, if you got a sample ballot, and some of the little ladies, older ladies, you know, will get confused, and you take that to the poll, you see my name and Richard Shumsky's name, what happens? You get confused, you mark both of them, invalid vote.
Well, why do you think that they didn't support you?
It's a money game. It's when I did talk to Councilperson Holden, he told me, quote, I had to do that. I'm sorry I had to put your name and Rich's name, but I was paid a lot of money. And that is one of the problems that our black politicians, or that we're having with black politicians, they're no more concerned about the people or their district. They're concerned about the power. Assume power, because we don't have any power. We have zero power. And let me give you an example.
Yeah, I want to know, what do you mean by
why
that?
I say we have zero power. I don't know if you've been reading or keeping up with.
First of all, who is we?
The African-American community, or the black folks.
Okay.
Right?
And why do you say that?
I don't know if you've been keeping up with the news lately about Speaker Willie Brown, but the term limit that we have, you can only stay in office X number of years, from my understanding, was proposed so they could get Speaker Willie Brown out of office. That did not happen. Just the other day, the guy, Paul Horchard, who voted in favor of Willie Brown against the Democrats, against the Republicans, if you remember that, the Republicans did everything they could, spent almost $400,000 or more to get Paul Horchard out of office because he supported Speaker Willie Brown. Now, if you read in your paper yesterday or day before yesterday in the L.A. Times, it states, because the Republicans want power. That is not true. We must start looking and thinking beyond what we read on paper.
Thank you.
A month ago, there was, and I can't think of this young man's name, but he's in Washington. One of the, do you have his name? Okay. But anyway, he went against the party. He voted for a Democrat. They talked about censoring him, but they did not. They dropped it. But yet with Willie Brown, they spent all of this money to make sure that they get rid of Paul Horchard just so Willie Brown could not get the speakership. There is, if he had been white, do you think that would have happened? No, it would not have happened.
I don't quite. Who spent the money to do that? Willie Brown is black and the other guy is white?
The Republicans built, I think his name is, staged a campaign
to get Willie Brown
to
out.
Recall Horchard. Horchard is the guy who voted for Willie Brown to maintain.
And Horchard is a white guy who is
a
Republican.
Yes, he is white.
Oh, okay.
And he voted democratically in order to get Willie Brown to maintain the speakership.
Okay. And so let me ask you this.
Well, this is after the fact. Mm-hmm.
Do we want Willie Brown there or we want him out as black people?
I think we need a change of the guard in every political office there is. And I tell you why. When I see other races coming together and supporting their own, building all around, and when I see black people, like with all these leaders and all of these ministers, standing around promoting and celebrating self-ego, because that's what they're doing.
That's right.
They are not
Preach.
Helping our community. So let's have a change of guard. In fact, we need some younger people in office. We have totally neglect our 30, 20 people, 20 and 30-year-old, 35. In fact, we don't even want new people to come into our little set or our little whatever. And we need to do something about that. And I will say here today, you know, someone said, be careful what you say on the show.
No, say what you want.
I will say.
I'm not responsible for what you say, but say what you want.
I will say that whatever I will preach to the world, African-American people, whatever you want to call us black, because, you know, we change our name every so often.
Every time Jesse Jackson tells us to.
Right. We change our, or some other leader come up and change. We change our name.
Yeah.
But whatever you want to call us. We need to get people in. We need to support our younger people and bring them in. And we all need to be decision makers, not just have this
Absolutely.
Little clique. Because we don't. Mark Ridley Thomas
Boo.
Did not endorse me because, let me tell you, because it is stated, he did not quote this, but it got back, that he had to endorse a Hispanic in order. Because he wants to run for the mayor, and he must have the mayor's vote. Now, let me tell you this about my campaign. During the Watergate, they had what they called deep throat. And a deep throat is a person.
I never did see that movie. Oh, not the movie.
No, this is not a movie.
No.
A deep throat is a person who calls you and tells you everything that's going on.
Oh, okay. No, I'm just
trying. I had a white person that I met just on the spot would call me and tell me every move the black person was making, why they were making it against me. Really? Don't take it personal. They want to do this. They want, and they would laugh. How many of you remember the meeting that was held at Pastor Blake's church?
We're going to talk about that. Yes, ma'am. We are going to get into that.
That was a big joke.
As a matter of fact, we got someone that's going to join us.
Ooh. That was a big
it was.
Joke.
It just blew my mind.
As I said, Deep Throat, call me and tell me. The mayor.
I'm sorry, I cannot help but think about the movie when you mentioned Deep Throat.
I don't want to call this person's right. name. He's been very good to me. The mayor is already positioning all of his people in place right today. He has 65% of his people in place, so when we get ready to go to the vote, he will automatically win.
Imagine. What? Let's take a break. I'm sorry to cut you off, but we need to go to break. We'll be back in a moment.
Bond. The Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny. Rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. For more information, call us toll-free, 1-800-411-BOND. That's 1-800-411-BOND.
Young man.
Okay, we are back. Welcome to the program. My guest today is Fannie Mae Curry.
No, it's not. It's Frankie.
Frankie Mae Curry.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. She ran for Board of Trustees for the L.A.
For Los Angeles Community College District.
Okay. And you, before we went to break, you were talking about Mark.
Ridley, Mark Ridley Thomas.
Thomas. You said that the mayor.
Mayor Ridden has already positioned 65% of his people in place. So then when we go to the poll, every so much money pumped in so many signs, we're going to vote for him automatically. Why are blacks getting together thinking? No, feeling, because, you know, black people do not think. They
Amen.
Feel.
That's right.
You emotional know, they feel. We work back. Off emotions. We are very yeah. emotional. Instead
very
of
true.
Sitting back, analyzing, thinking, if they did, then we wouldn't be going through this problem. But anyway, so that mayor is sitting up laughing. And it was in L.A. Times, you know, that the mayor just sent some people over there and just said, oh, so they do what they want to. And I am so tired of white people, Hispanics, Asians laughing at my race. I do not know what to do. And I felt this humiliation when I was running. When I would go to forums, my opponents would say to me, Frankie, are you sure you in the black race? Do you have any support? That is very, very humiliating.
Yeah.
Very embarrassing.
Why do you think that they're laughing at us? Or at the black folks, not me?
You want to know what? I told two white people that I was planning to write a book entitled I Hate I'm Black. And I thought they were going to spanch and all. And the young man said to me, one of them said, oh, I understand. Everybody support their own, but what's wrong with your race? Why don't they support? And I just...
Why don't we support?
It's the crab syndrome. Do you know what the crab syndrome is? We are so jealous of one another. And if one starts climbing up, we want to pull him down. I have always been the person that has been out here in this community. I don't have to know you. I will work very, very hard for you. And not only black people, but if I see anyone who's trying, I will work very hard for them.
Black people, for the most part, not all, seem to be very immoral and, as you said, emotional and have no real sense of individuality.
Values. We don't have any values.
Right. So what? And that is true, huh?
No values, no culture.
That's right. And what happened to the values of the black people?
Well, I don't know. I think we live in the past too much. I mean, every February we talk about black history. You see
Big Mouth Maxine Waters.
you see Maxine Waters. You see
Danny Bagwell. Is she crazy too?
She has her bad and good points.
I don't know any good thing about her.
Well, I can tell you one good thing that she did. She did put 1.3 She did put $1.3 million at Southwest College to help. So she does have that point. But let me talk about the morals and values. We live in the past too much. We actually live in the past. Every February, we talk about the Danny Bakewells, etc., talk about what black folks did.
Yeah.
We are not encouraging our young people to do today. There's no invention. We keep getting up and, you know, he invented and he did and he did.
I know.
What about today?
That's right.
So we live in the past too much. So, no, we are nothing. And I will tell you, as today, we are nothing. Aging people come over, hard times come over, stick together, pull their money in, build. Okay? The Hispanics, look at them, what they're doing. They're slipping in all kinds of ways, building, pulling their money together. We do not have a culture, so we don't care, and we don't like each other, and we don't like self. Because if we love self, then you can love other people, and you would be willing. You want to give, and you want to help.
The one thing I want to talk about, too, is you just name the other races that stick together. I'm not sure that when they come here, they're coming with the intention of sticking together. They come as a family. I notice that they come as a family, and the family seem to stick together. The mother and father's there. They're encouraging the kids to do well in school. The mother seemed to have a little more respect for the father than the black woman in the black community. And as a result, they seem to do well. But they end up in a community together because they're afraid to stay in our community. And
I don't
think
so.
So they sort of end up, I'm afraid to stay there. So I know they have to be afraid.
I don't think so. And I'm going to say about you being afraid to stay in our community. Let me address that issue.
They steal my TVs.
Let me address that issue. And you may not like what I'm going to say.
Just say it.
It is our fault. To give you an example, I can see no more than two little thugs. And I used to work at a camp, and they know I call them little thugs with the pants hanging and all the rag on the head. And if I hear them say a bad word, I will stop them and say, hey, wait a minute, you know, you don't. And they seem to respect that.
Yes.
These young people want us. They want, but we have deserted them. We have moved on the hill.
There it is.
You know, we got a little Lexus or Mercedes that we cannot hardly pronounce, right? Yes. And we have left those kids. And that's where the problem is. We have to stop. If I heard somebody say we got to break down this society, first of all, we have to get rid of these highfalutin ministers
and go out here.
Not all of them.
But no, we have some nice ones. But all those you see on TV, and every time something happens, they are right there in the middle of it.
Right.
We got to get rid of those.
People like Reverend Murray,
Chip Murray,
and Blake, Fred Price, Evie Hill, all those guys. We need to get rid of them.
Evie Hill.
We need to get rid of all of them.
Yeah.
All of them.
But they're not going anywhere. They're here because.
If
and
we
I
stop
tell you
giving
why,
them money and their no, churches,
no, but we're
they'll
not
go
gonna
somewhere.
Stop giving them money. I'm gonna tell you why.
Why not? Huh?
Today we are having severe problems. We do not feel connected. Black people want to be connected. Why do you think so many people running over to Blake's church? Oh, you know, Magic Johnson go to that church, and I'm going to assist, you know. So we got to feel connected.
Absolutely.
It's not like the extended family we had many years ago. I didn't tell you this. I am a community child. I was raised by the community. My mother, we won't even go into it, but people off the streets stopped and say, little girl, you can make it. Teacher said, you can make it. So I feel that the community, it is a community that we have to raise our children, raise them to young adults. We have to go out and get those welfare mothers and say, baby, get and let's get a job. We are not doing that because we think we are much better than them.
Yeah.
And every one of us sitting in this room, we're all about that way from being a homeless.
Not me.
Yeah,
no. I'm a long way from homelessness.
That is a joke.
Let me say this. Hold on, sir. Sir. Hey.
Okay.
Let me say this to you. And so let's go back to the election. All right. When you would go to speak or campaign,
yes,
they would actually tell you that, I mean, they would laugh at you because you didn't have support. From the black
they would not laugh. Believe it or not, they felt sorry for me. A couple of them felt very sorry for me. I mean, they would come up. Well, first of all, when I started campaign campaigning. You know, most of your opponents, you argue and all that. I would not have that with them. We had a little meeting, a little session, and I told each how I felt. I was the only one who worked for, well, this Ricardo guy worked also, but worked for the district. But I was the only one primarily with the loudest mouth who worked for the district. So I would tell them, you know, the best person win. We don't have to fight and all that. So we established a rapport. And when they would sit up and they would talk about their support and all, my community supporting them, and then they would, like, come to me and say, well, Frankie, you know, you still can win and all of that. So they would, like, really feel, you could feel the sympathy they had for me.
You know what? We're coming to the end of this program. Did you? I want to ask this for a quick answer, then tomorrow night we'll pick up on the rest.
Okay.
Did you discover all this as a result of running for office?
Yes. I've always lived in a cloud, and I thought my ministers were A1. I thought my political leaders, especially Yvonne Brathwaite-Berg, was, you're right, it's a joke. She was like my role model. I wrote her a letter to this fact and told her quite some time ago. All but right. I was wrong.
I thank you for coming on.
Thank you very much.
I do want you to stay over. We'll do another show. I have to tell you, don't want to miss it. Call your enemies, your pastors, your leaders, and tell them to tune in. The truth is out. Thank you for coming on, and we'll be back next week. All right. Good job. Okay. We're doing a welcome to the program. My name is Jesse Peterson, for those who are tuning in for the first time. Can we get some water from our guests, you think? Is that possible? Okay. They'll bring you some water.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, she's on the hot seat and she's sweating up there. So let's get some water. We're talking about the truth today. So I know it's difficult for black people to hear the truth and accept the truth, but little by little, people are coming out and speaking the truth about what is happening within the black community. And that is the only thing that's going to change us. You know, Frankie Mae Curry, and you ran for?
Board of Trustees for Los Angeles Community College District.
Okay. We won't go all into that. If you missed last week's program, call the studio and they will replay it for you. Let me ask, were you told that a Mexican was going to win, or to let a Mexican win? Were you told that during the campaign?
How did you know? Prior to my running, I decided to talk with the union rep. After the people at school asked me, I went to my union representative, Leon Marzillier, and I explained to him who I was and told him I was going to run. And he told me, we have two African Americans on the board. We don't need another one.
Really?
Yes.
Is this a Mexican person that told you?
No,
that?
He's white.
You let a white person tell you that?
Well, that's why I decided. I looked at him. We were at Jimmy's. He was trying to flirt with me, right? And he took me out to Jimmy's restaurant in Beverly Hills, like I had never been there before. And when he said that, I told him that, oh, no, he was the one that really finalized my decision to run. When he said that, I told him, no, you need the best person for the job. And I know the school. I know what it needs, and I know what is suffering. So, therefore, I'm going to run.
But he told, how come you didn't go to the media with that if he said two is enough?
The media, who cares about the community colleges? Do you ever see any information about the community colleges in the newspaper unless they are talking about raising fees or cutting programs?
Unless they have a riot.
Unless we have a riot, yeah. And
so,
I doubt that.
Were you offended when he told you that?
I looked at the source. I'm used to being discriminated against. I went to Africa, Dakar, Africa, and they say that, you know, black people from Africa. I was discriminated against there in 1981. I was told I was too light to attend a reception. So I'm used to being discriminated. That's why African is not my home. I've been discriminated here against jobs. I've been too light or the Southern accent for a job. So I'm accustomed to discrimination. And what was wrong in this case, though, this particular union president, Leon Marzillier, was a foreigner. He came from London, was a union rep over American teachers, over the teachers' union, and wasn't even a citizen. And that is what's wrong with part of USA today. Yeah. We're allowing too many foreigners to come in here and dictate what we are about.
Absolutely.
And one of the dictation is we do not like black people. Let's get rid of them. And if you don't believe that, about 2 weeks ago in the L.A. Times, when I say people don't like black people, it is not only in USA. It's in France, everywhere else. 2 weeks ago in the U.S. time, in the L.A. Times, they had an article where the prime minister wants to isolate, get rid of all the immigrants. Most of the immigrants are from Africa, who are in French too, but they are black people.
But don't we want to get rid of all the Mexicans here, at least the illegal aliens one?
I'm wrestling with that idea because I represent, Frankie Curry represent college students. And my college students consist of all races. And I believe if we get rid of Hispanics, if they get rid of whoever the four they are that's running the country, eventually they want to get rid of me.
But we're talking about illegal ones.
They will say
here,
that I'm illegal.
But they can't. You were born here. So it's impossible to say that.
Well, you see, we don't make the rules, okay? There's only a certain few people who make the rules. And they make the rules and they break the rules according to their wishes.
That's so the thing. Again, if you're broke, you ain't got, you should leave anyway.
Right. Okay, so therefore, if they say we're going to get rid of all the illegals, then they may come along and say American blacks are illegal too. So I'm still thinking about that.
I know, but they can't say that. I mean, it's a fact that these people are coming in illegally. We know that they are breaking a law, and that is the concern that we have. They just can't say that we are breaking the law. We were born here. We are here. So that's the difference. But let me ask you this. At the schools, LA City College,
We have nine colleges, so LA City is one of them.
LACC. Are there more Mexicans now than any other race there?
No, Asian.
You say, yeah?
No, the Asian. The more, we have more at East L.A. The highest percentage is at East L.A.
East L.A.
City College has more Asians than Hispanics.
Oh, it does?
Yes.
But they're here legally, right?
I wouldn't have any knowledge of that.
Would you want to stop immigration, period, or just illegal immigration?
As I said, I have been thinking about 187 for a long time. That was a bill that just they're trying to get out of the courts.
Right.
I don't feel comfortable with a yes answer to get rid of illegal immigrants. I don't feel comfortable.
Only because you think that the white people want to throw you out next.
I think the white people want to throw all minorities out. And the reason why they do, because for so long they have been in the majority. They are not in the majority now. The Asians, the black, African, or whatever you call us, you, and the Hispanics make up the majority. So the white man is saying, I mean, he's gotten afraid. No, I can't let this happen. I've been in control all this time, and now I'm a minority.
Do
so he's
really
feeling out ways to get rid of people. Who say I'm not to be next?
Let me ask you this. Do you really believe that, or
do I really believe what?
That white people are sitting back saying that. They are that worried.
Do I really believe it?
Uh-huh.
I would almost say I know it.
How do you know that?
From the, well, I'm a late bloomer. I went to school late, but back in 1974, I had a sociology teacher at Trade Tech College. I mean, we thought this man was really strange, weird, right? But what is happening today, he predicted then. He predicted everything that is happening today about how the white people will be in the minority and how they will get frantic and they will start doing everything trying to get rid of people out of this country. And so with that in mind, okay, and I have lived with that in mind, and I'm looking at what's going on today.
Yeah.
So I said yes.
So do you think all white people feel that way?
No. There's not all in them, because I just told you earlier last week when I saw you, I had deep throat. He doesn't feel that way about me.
Deep throat is a man. Interesting.
Yes. Boy, he'll know who, if he sees this program, he'll call and say, Frankie. No, all white people do not feel that way, just like all blacks are not helping, just like all ministers are not promoting their ego, you know. It's not all never in anything.
Right.
But as I said earlier tonight, the wicked overshadows the good people.
Yeah, it does. Let me ask you this. can't we as people come to a point in life where we vote for the person that is best suitable for the position, whether he's black or white or
I would
Japanese
like to see that happen, and I think so, you're getting to affirmative action.
Let me ask you that, though. Can't, instead of voting for a black person just because they're black or a white person just because they're white, don't we need to change our mind and vote for the qualified person, the person that has the same standard that we have and is fighting for the same cause? Shouldn't we vote that way as black people?
I think each individual should vote his or her conscience. And if we talk about it on a whole, I have a lot of problems with, and what you're speaking of, I think, is affirmative action. I have a lot of problems
with... I want to get to that, but I still want to just go back to the voting thing, because you said earlier that blacks should vote, you know, like, blacks should vote for blacks, Hispanics, you know, they stick together, and the Asians stick together. I personally think that's a mistake. I think we should vote for the qualified person.
Okay, I agree with you 100%. It is not happening like that today, per se.
Right.
I will tell you, for example, of the people who ran for the Board of Trustees, I would say I am the most qualified because I'm right there. I know what's going on. I work very, very hard. I raise money. I know what's going on. I was the only person who worked there. However, we have, let's look at Richard Susskind. Never worked in the school, always been in probation, but because he was a union person,
yeah,
he's Jewish, so people say, well, let us vote for him.
Well, I realize that it's not the way it should be.
So I would say we need to change our minds and, yes, vote for the most qualified person. When you have a choice that there are two or three qualified persons, then you will say, well, let me, and I will say this, let me stick to my own kind. Okay? Now, remember what I said. You have two or three people who are qualified. Yes, sir, I do believe that.
What do you mean by own kind?
We have three.
Let me ask this first, this way. If you had a good qualified white man.
Yes.
And a halfway qualified Mexican.
No.
And a no good black. Are you going to vote for that black anyway?
No. I said vote for the most qualified.
But what do you mean by your own kind?
However, if you have three most qualified people, one is a white, one is a black, one is a Hispanic. If you have three most qualified people, every black should vote for that black person. Every Hispanic should vote for that Hispanic, etc.
Really?
If they're equally qualified. Yes,
why?
I do believe that. Why not? We need some kind of camaraderie. We need to stick together, right? Every other race is doing it, so why not? Okay, let's say that. You have three qualified people, equally qualified, of different colors. So what are you saying, that we have the salad bowl where we just go in and just blindfold and vote? That should be the way it is. That is not the way it is today. Let's deal with reality.
I know it's not that way, but we need to make a change. I mean, if we see that a situation is bad, someone needs to come and change that situation to good.
I will agree with you, but...
Let's assume, and I don't agree with you on that, but let's assume that all white people vote for all whites and all blacks and so on. And that's not good. So somebody needs to come and make a change, don't you think?
Due to the fact of slavery, et cetera, I would agree somebody needs to come and make a change. But let's deal with reality. That's not going to happen.
Why not? I mean, the only reason it would happen because no one is willing to stand up and do it and make the change.
I think we are too... Unless we start this world all over again, we need to start with different rules, different values, different regulations. We would have to start all over again because we're too far gone now.
Did you want to say something? Ma'am? Don't be afraid. Yes, ma'am.
The only thing about that, you're saying blacks are in the crab syndrome?
Yes.
The only thing about that is if we keep saying it can't happen, we have to start all over again, it really will never start. And all we need to do is start with one person. And as one person starts something, then the next person adds on, the next person, our family, and then we see a change. Then otherwise, we keep saying that there's no way for it to change. And there is. It has to be. Otherwise, we'll all be gone anyway.
Wait a minute. If I hear you correctly, I think we're talking about two different things. I hear you saying that we must help each other step by step. I am in total agreement. But what he is saying, if I am correct, if you have three different race of people competing for a job, equally qualified, how should the vote be? How should a person determine his or her vote?
You have to vote for the person who's going to do the most for you. You know,
for
look
you.
At everything.
Thank you.
And that's how that's
and
an
hopefully
individual.
That will be your.
You
own.
Have to research it and not with a feeling, with facts.
And hopefully that will be. I am sorry. Like kind, do like things will be your own race.
But
thank
let
you.
Me just say this about, and then I'm gonna take this young man here. We need to erase this thing about your own race, your own people. Black people, just because we are black, we're not all the same. We're not. They're not my people. You know what I'm saying? We have different values. We have different ideals.
That's believe, what our problem is. You're right.
We believe in different things. So if you got a white man and an Asian and a black running, we can't vote for the black man just because he is our people.
No, no.
He's not
if they're all equally qualified, we're talking about if they're equally status quo, everything's same.
But what I'm saying, though, we need to get rid of this notion of our people. That's how the churches are controlling us, and the politicians are controlling us with this notion of our people.
Okay. I have a little problem with that, but go ahead.
Okay, we're going to take a break, and I okay. want you to respond to that, and then I'll take the young man in the audience.
Okay.
We'll be back in a moment. Good stuff.
Bond, the brotherhood organization of a new destiny. Rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. For more information, call us toll-free, 1-800-411-BOND. That's 1-800-411-BOND.
We are back. Let's get answer that question for me. What was the question? You remember?
You asked me if there were three people equally qualified.
Oh, yeah, our people.
Different, oh, we talked about our people. And the word our, the pronoun, or the...
Oh, no, I know what I said. I'm sorry. That's how the churches
yes.
and the politicians are controlling us with the word our people. We're
going to
talk
pronoun.
About that meeting
yes.
at the church, and they use that word a lot. So don't you think we need to get rid of that because we're not our people? I mean...
I think that it's with me, our people, it's just been conditioned for me to say it because I've heard it over and
yes,
over
ma'am.
And over. But I want to say one thing to you, and I saw that in the audience. I had a lot of disagreements and frowning of faces to say, what do I mean? In our world as it stands today, especially since the passing of 187, we have been made to be segregated whether we want it or not. And that's why I said to you earlier, if you have two people equally qualified, one is of a different ethnicity, then surely it's up to you that you vote for whomever you wish. But I would say in order to help your own group, that you vote for that person in the group if you feel that that person will enhance or do something for the group.
Yes, it seemed like everybody was getting on Ms. Curry's case about what she's saying, but in reality, if you think about it, if your mama was running, if your daddy, your uncle, your cousin, your neighbor, and you go extended from your family out to the community, you will vote for the person that is equally qualified, that is closer to you. Myself, thank I would you. Vote for the person who is moralistic. I would not vote for my mama or my daddy. I may vote for the person who's in my church next to me, since we were talking about churches earlier. Then I would vote for the person who is morally connected to me. That way I know that the job would be done. So we're talking about there wouldn't be a female, it wouldn't be a male. It doesn't make any difference. Who is morally connected to me, then that's the person I would vote for if they're qualified.
If they're qualified.
And so let's
thank
not play
you.
Games with ourselves. We know how we think. So what she's saying is exactly how everybody thinks here.
That's why we need to change the thinking.
Well, no, the thinking is proper because you will. If your son was running and he was qualified, he's an association with you, you would vote for your son. You wouldn't vote for my son. You know your son better. And if they're both qualified.
She doesn't mean that. She means that.
Yes, it is. Let me say what I think you mean.
Okay. Then you can correct me. Because I know the mentality of black people. Not that that's what you're saying. But the mentality is just because this person is black, then he or she is our people. And if this person is running against a non-black person, then I, as a black person, should be obligated to vote for them because they are black, and somehow or another they're going to come back into the community and do something for me.
Do you remember what I said earlier? Let me just say this. Do you remember what I said earlier? I sit here, I represent all people because that of my, I am an educator. I have the Hispanics, I have the Asians, I have the Indians, I have all people. But again, I will go back and say, if you have two people running for the same position, equally qualify, you will vote assimilation association. Thank you.
See, what you're saying and what she's saying is basically the same thing. We have to associate what is closer to us. You will vote whatever's closer to you if you're convinced they both qualify.
Yes.
And that's what Ms. Curry is saying. And we all know we would do that. So let's not play games with it. Let's say and give her credit for what she's saying, being bold enough to come on your show and say it. I'll say it too with her. I will vote for the person who is connected to me on my priority of life. Mine would be God. So if the person connected to me and God in the way I believe, I would vote for them. The Muslim, the Mormon, the Jehovah's Witness, whoever it is, you will vote for that person, and you should, because that's the one's going to do the thing for you.
The only word that I'm trying to get rid of is our people word. That's the thing that I,
well, as I
because
said
I know
before,
that's what we are being controlled by. We've been convinced that we're all one as black people, and we're
I just proved to you earlier today that when we look at our political leaders, some of them, majority of them, especially local. Someone said to me, oh, you're a politician. No, I'm not. I don't even see myself connected with those people. So when I use the word our people, it's just merely because I've been conditioned to do that.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Good. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Yes, you were saying first about voting. Well, what I do, just like you now, that just from what I've heard you say, and you running for the school board, ain't no way in the world I'd vote for you.
Thank you.
Because for the simple reason, how I vote, I know what the problem is. All right. Now, the one that is going to solve the problem, because my problem is everybody's problem. Everybody want crime stop. Everybody want their kids better educated. Well, now, the one that can do the job that I feel can do the best job for the whole, not for me, because if you bless the whole, you bless all the parts. And I'm a part of this. And as far as 187 you were speaking about, I just despise border jumpers. Everybody that jump across that border, babies, husband and all, and broke folks ain't supposed to be having sex. No way. Why are you broke? You don't know where you going to stay, and you're going to break the law and come in. That's saying that you don't respect the laws. So you ain't supposed to be here. All the border jumpers, throw them back across there, whoever it is. And don't make a difference what color it is. They don't belong here.
Okay, what? You wanted to ask a question about what is black.
Yeah.
Just ask that it is.
Okay. What color is black?
I would say the color you are. I would say that. And I would say the color that I am.
That's the reason I wouldn't vote for you.
Okay. But I would say the color that I am. I would say the color that you are. When I looked in the audience, and
Shannon is black to me.
Okay. I wrote an article when they talked about changing the name from black to African America. I wrote an article to the West Wave, and my statement was this. I don't care what you call me. Just call me and be together with me. Let me feel connected with you. It's not in a name. Some of us get too hooked up on a name. Whatever. You can call me a Negro. You can call me colored. This name changes just like we are changing, you know, moving all away from each other.
Let me ask you this. You were born here in this country.
I was born in Chicago, Illinois.
In this country. Do you feel like this is your country? Do you feel like... I love America, and I can associate with whites and blacks and Asians and Hispanics who were born here as well. We all like one. Or do you feel disconnected from this country?
I feel disconnected from a lot of black officials and the black ministers,
good.
I feel. But I read my Bible every day, and I will sit here and tell you that I am a child of God. And people are people and human, and I have compassion for all people. I am no better than the illegal aliens who jumped across that border. That person is here trying to find a better life.
But
if that person give them,
we
why not?
We shouldn't want them to break the law to do it. There's a way to come in.
Well, we didn't, from where I read my history books, we didn't break the law, but they drug us over here against our will.
Okay, let me
What's
ask you this then. Let's say here you are sitting in your home, you worked all day, you're at home with some fried chicken and collard greens, something there.
That's black folks' food. I don't eat it.
And here this person on the street who is hungry, a homeless person, do they have the right to break into your home and take your food?
Well, no, that's getting. I don't think anyone has a right to.
So then,
but it's not. Don't
put them on break illegal. Into the country and take our food.
They're not taking our food. We're
taking welfare. They're taking welfare. They're taking health care.
Excuse me.
They're taking the jobs.
Excuse me, sir. Let's think for a minute. They are not taking anything because if the white man didn't want them to have it, they wouldn't get it. Okay? I sit in council. Vietnamese students cannot speak English. They can get more financial aid than a black person, a white person who can't, and or, I'm sorry, a Hispanic person. So they are not taking anything. We are, or whomever, allowing them to have it. This is another way of pitting these races together. We need to stop and think about that. And that's what's happened with the illegal. For they are not so concerned. Why, if Wilson was, Governor Wilson hired illegals to come and work for them, if they were all that concerned, they would have done something about it then. What is happening today, right today, is they're using this to pit races against each other. Whoever wants illegal aliens out of here, whoever initiated that 187, that's all that is. Let's think about
it.
There
were many black people who were in favor of that.
I understand that. I understand that. But I'm saying let's really stop and think and analyze. We got to stop working on emotions. We got to look at the total problem.
Are we out of time? You know what? We're out of time. Are you able to stay over? And we're going to have a minister to come up there with you. We're going to do something to this guy. Can you stay over for me?
Yes.
Okay, we're out of time. Thank you for tuning in. You wouldn't want to miss next week. Tell somebody.
Can find